Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Citizenship means standing up for the lives that gun violence steals from us each day. I've seen the courage of parents, students, pastors, police officers all over this country who say, we are not afraid. And I intend to keep trying, with or without Congress, to help stop more tragedies from visiting innocent Americans in our movie theaters, in our shopping malls, or schools like Sandy Hook.
We're going to go back to more of that later. We're in the aftermath of the state of the dictatorship with the traitor-in-chief, the saboteur-in-chief. What's the best way to describe it? The subversive-in-chief. Notice how everything he says is the complete opposite. We are not afraid, which invokes fear of guns, which is all they do is fearmonger about guns. All of his surrogates, all of the establishment, oh my gosh, gun violence is up, oh, we're all dead, oh, it's the number one cause of death, oh, it's so evil. I think it's actually, like, last time I checked in the World Almanac for last year, it's like the 15th cause of death in the U.S., and it's down by 51% since 1992, FBI unified crime statistics. I mean, this is all on record. Overall, crimes with guns, just violent crimes, down 51% with guns, it was 61%. I mean, that's even mainstream news after we put the numbers out, you know, took the numbers the Justice Department had put out via the FBI early last year and then dissected it, and then the media finally picked up on it. LA Times said gun crime plunges, but public perceives that it's escalating because it's all a giant con game. And we did live coverage of it. It's been archived up to prisonplanet.tv. We have a great crew, stayed up until like 11 o'clock last night getting it all done. And of course, it was like a 2+ hour special marathon news transmission show. It, for some reason, didn't encode right and get uploaded, but it's now available if you missed the live transmission from 7 o'clock last night until about 9:30 Central. So I guess it was 2.5 hours. If you missed any of that, it is now up at prisonplanet.tv. And with our very small crew, they did a superb job. Not just the reporters, not just myself, but the people behind the scenes like Marcos Morales and Rob Dew and Darren McBreen and just everyone that is here. There's so many, but I just want to thank them all for the great job they did last night. State of the Tyrant, Obama's 2014 State of the Union. Josh Owens was helping as well. Glenn Trolls, John Bowne, just doing the job of three or four people. And I'm trying to figure out who to put in charge of what officially up here. But we're all so busy running and gunning in the fight as history just unfolds in front of us that, quite frankly, my head is spinning. I need a vacation just to be able to settle down, get a breather, look at all the stuff I need to do, a film I need to finish, the studio's done, satellite uplinks, the rollout, the redesign of InfoWars and Prison Planet is ready. Bugs are almost worked out. It's like pregnancy, ladies and gentlemen, for us. Just like the tyranny is pregnant 9 months, liberty is pregnant 9 months, and not just with us. Everywhere, the liberty movement's explosion is ripening. I mean, it is like The baby getting ready to come. It's about that cork getting pulled out. And here comes the new birth. And there's going to be a lot of evil coming into the world and a lot of good coming into the world. Because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's a universal fact, Jack. We'll be right back with tons of vital intel. And we'll decipher the state of the tyranny. We'll be right back.
now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. If memory serves, I believe that's how The Tale of Two Cities begins. Will you guys pull up the first page of A Tale of Two Cities? I want to actually read that because there's more. There's more to that quote. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the sunshine summer patriot that we need here, that goes to the football games and waves American flags, having no idea what that flag symbolizes. And I'm not knocking people that like the American flag. It is people that recognize what the flag symbolizes, not what it's been expropriated for, not what it's been captured, not what it's been used for, but it's those that recognize that compared to every other system, it's been the best. And that's why the true Americana system is under attack. And people ask who I am and what I stand for. I am a constitutional, libertarian, freedom lover who is a human empowerment activist. And I don't like thugs and psychopaths and goons and tyrants and gangs and usurpers any more than if I was out on the African plain, I'd like a pride of lions trying to eat me. I am not food. I am not here for a predator class to feed on and lie to and keep in the dark and feed me, you know what, like mushrooms. That's an old politician saying from 80 years ago. What do you do with the public? You keep them in the dark and feed them horse manure like mushrooms. A Tale of Two Cities, since I just mentioned that. Chapter 1, The Period. Book 1, Recalled to Life. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going directly the other way. In short, this period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on being received, for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. That's people used to just read whole books written that well. Don't you wish you could talk like that and write like that? You think we're getting better or are we getting worse overall? It's the best of times, worst of times. We're getting better in some ways, but the goal of the social engineers, because really it's easier to make something ugly. It's easier to pull something down. It's easier to cheat. They then claim that this is their system of subversion. And then their system of destabilization, and then their system of crisis, implosion, and then reorganization. And the truth is, you guys don't reorganize anything. The truth is, you wreck stuff, and then you feed on the incredible wealth of the human spirit, ingenuity, and mind, and then claim that you have directed and built everything. When the truth is, you have just plowed through the human psyche and civilization, causing irrevocable damage to the DNA, the very fabric of the human biosphere for thousands of years. The predator, parasite, psychopath, malfunctioning class are mentally ill and are a cancer. It's really very, very simple. Okay, so you're not superior. You're not better than us. Those of us that do have empathy, those of us that are nice, those of us that like other people being successful, just because we don't have a desire to run everything doesn't mean we are losers in your whole social Darwinistic facade. The truth is, you are a bunch of kleptocratic, obsessive-compulsive, megalomaniacal, preening, drooling, spiritually dead individuals. I was watching last night live during the State of the Union. A lot of you were watching, and we simulcasted it on the InfoWars Nightly News and InfoWarsNews.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. We had a 2.5-hour special live news last night with Leanne McAdoo, Jakari Jackson, David Knight, and yours truly, Alex Jones. And it's now up on PrisonPlanet.tv for members in full. But the point is, I have never seen a more demoralized, weak, wraith-like looking group of assembled evildoers, twisted, Skeksy-like, really apparitions. And then I could see a few congressmen and women who I know are good people, at least halfway good in the political system. Even the political system knows how to manipulate the false political paradigm that has some truth in it, but not much. And they're able to swim in that false projection. But they're really naive. The political class is naive to a great extent. And the reason we're able to have such headway is they're in it and they're immersed in the compartmentalization. And they hear shows like this one and they see the analysis we put out. That's why Congress does pick up on what we say. That's foreign governments do as well. That's all on record. Russian government, Syrian government, U.S. government, the Pentagon more than anybody, because they're trying to make sense of it, of this twisted, multi-layered attack from all sides, full-spectrum dominance program that is really just the devil's program put out by the devil's stud to kill, steal, and destroy. There is no rhyme or reason to it at the end of the day. It's not just about power. The incredible emptiness of raw power is a gulf to behold. It is absolutely cold, and to someone that doesn't lust after it, very, very empty. But I was watching last night as Obama came in and as Democrats and a lot of Republicans groveled to him and would see the TV camera and get all excited, and you could tell were flushing in the face that they ran for office for mayor or county commissioner and then to state house and then to get into the House or the Senate. These people have spent 30, 40 years getting into a power position so they could bid rig and run scams and insider trade and exempt themselves from the law so that they don't want power so they can protect their family or so they can have a big private jet or so they can, you know, have some excuse for wanting to be rich, itself a prison. They absolutely want to perch like peacocks or cockatoos in a tree, showing off their feathers. It is so primitive, it is so pathetic, and it is scary to realize we are ruled by that political membrane that the special interest use as a facade so that they don't get the blame for their programs. And to just look at that collection . This is the only description I have. They had a mummy exhibition down in San Antonio a few years ago, and I was down there with my wife and children. And my wife said, I don't want to go to that. That sounds gross. And I thought, no, it was advertised as Egyptian stuff. I wanted to see the Egyptian. I'd seen Egyptian mummies in New York and Dallas and places, and I'm not into seeing a mummy. It was a collection of dead bodies. They had a Nazi collection there where this top Nazi general was obsessed with dead bodies and had all these mummies and And they had stuff from Europe just 200 years ago, and they had Egyptian mummies, and they had dead babies and everything. And I almost vomited when I got out of there. In fact, we went through it as quickly as we could. And everyone else was about to vomit in there. And when I was looking at those people last night, I almost vomited. I almost threw up. I actually had vomit come up in my throat when I was looking at the weird narcissistic eyes and the little vampire smiles and the little and all the pedophiles and pervs and all of them. And I was having like flashbacks to those mummies, and I was like, and then McAdoo was right beside me, and I want to vomit in front of her. And I was physically becoming ill looking at this pile this pile. It's like there's famous footage of Hermann Göring, the head of the Luftwaffe and a bunch of other stuff. You know, the big fat Nazi German. He's a World War I ace, heroin addict. And they're in there with the Warsaw Pact. And that was before that. Selling out Poland with the Russians. And they're all rubbing their hands together and smiling like little piggy dolls. And, you know, I could see that footage. It's famous footage when I was a kid. It was funny. Look at those stupid dictators. It wasn't stupid. They had hundreds of millions of people under their control, and they did horrible things. And it was also they could sit around and rub their hands together that they had just gone and divided Poland and killed hundreds of thousands of people on the takeover. And that's what it really comes down to, is we have to not even hate these people, but really realize how pathetic they are. And that's the good news, before I come back and give you my analysis of the State of the Union, is that they really are pathetic. But that's also the bad news, because that makes them even more dangerous. They don't realize how pathetic they are, and they can end up having a nuclear war or a bioweapons release or anything. I mean, they could pull anything. And the rest of the ruling class is not completely evil. You should be really concerned about not resisting this and speaking out against it. And that's the good news. A group of Republicans are calling for censure and a declaration against Obama of his attempt to convert us to a dictatorship. Another congressman has tweeted that he's the commandant in chief and is a socialist dictator. Yeah, you've got to tell it like it is. The dam will break. He will get indicted. He will get impeached. And we will put him in prison.
Federal agents, we are armed! What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Won't you stand up for truth? Why would you turn away to and then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn and walk away? What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong?
I think Paris ought to come back out with another album for these women singing.
I see a message from the government.
Like every day.
I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. You in tune to a hard truth soldier spitting. I stay committed, give up to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another push season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never think to stop it. The Illuminati, triple
another,
six, all connected. Stole a vote, stake
control,
the race, and
Bush,
take election.
Another
it's
Obama, another Clinton.
Kill committee. See the dragon get.
This is what we're talking about. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Alex Jones. We got a bunch of clips to play, obviously, from the State of Deception speech that we were witness to last night. And more analysis on the nightly news tonight. Daniel Istelin will be joining us for 30 minutes with the latest intel on Bilderberg and the globalist agenda and his new book, dealing with the globalist master rewrite takeover of humanity. Trans evolution. And then Gerald Celente will be joining us to give us his take on the bank runs that are starting all over the world, from Russia to England to the United States. Banks are trying to restrict the money that is coming in. If you go to drudgereport.com, at least when I checked it a few minutes ago, he even has an image up there showing the Russian bank not letting people get their money out. And that's our article from Infowars.com. And again, if people are in denial about that, it's also Bloomberg reporting on that. So Zero Hedge is also reporting on that. We're going to be breaking that down with Celente coming up. By the way, my voice sounds deeper than normal. The cedar fever, we call them cedar down here. It's really juniper from Europe and the Middle East that's invasive and has taken over and killed most of the oak trees in the last 150 years, and it's an accursed plant that has horrible, horrible pollen when it grows the way it does here. They're supposed to be like 100 feet tall. Well, here they grow like 20 feet tall, and they're just everywhere, and they use like five times the water of an oak or a elm or any other noble tree. They're the most ignoble demons. And it's like that movie, The Happening, where the trees release a toxin to kill all the humans. I mean, that's literally what's going on here. I mean, if there was a government program and a government tax in Travis County or surrounding areas to eradicate them, I would support that. That would be government doing a good thing. That is a public health issue. It's like nerve gas or something. I mean, it is. You can see yellow in the blowing outside. Like, an example of an invasive species. And you walk outside. I need a respirator to go out there. Now, because I drink more water and I take my supplements, 5 years ago, I had to take off for a week when this stuff was really, I mean, the trees are now orange, ladies and gentlemen. They're supposed to be green. They're orange. They're evergreens with the pollen, and they actually go and just shoot it out like nerve gas, and it's just clouds of this stuff. And you know, I don't even so much hate the trees as I loathe them. I want them out of my universe. They are horrible parasitic creatures, and across the board. Oh, they won't let us cut them down, though, because they claim a golden cheek warbler lives in them. Well, if the golden cheek warbler nest in them, morons, then explain to me what it did before the German and Polish and Czech settlers, some of my ancestors, but still, wish I could punch them in the nose. They didn't know what they were doing. Brought these stinking things over here. And by the way, I'm now seeing them in California. Californians, you better kill these immediately. And we actually have video of them when they release. Look at that. You're watching us on PrisonPlanet.tv. I mean, this is what I'm bombarded with. Children are now getting rashes. Oh, this is a whole other issue. One of my best friends' daughter, 2 years old, collapses. They take her into Dell Children's. It's full of kids. And they said, did she have a virus or something 2 weeks ago? And they go, yeah. And they go, well, that's why all these kids now have type 1 diabetes. They go, but that's genetic. Well, they go, well, it triggers the genetic predisposition. And then they went and looked up the numbers of type 1 exploding. Well, how's it exploding if it's genetic? Well, it's viral pancreatitis, folks. But they won't even tell them that, even though it's in the literature. I'm going to explain that when we come back.
Got a business that you didn't build, that somebody else made that happen.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Some of the bombshell info. Obama plagiarized Bush's 2007 State of the Union speech. And the takeaway from that is, I'm going to be breaking this down, there's video of it we're going to play in a few minutes, is that it just shows how the establishment writes the same old lies, rope-a-dope, everything's going to be okay, just work together, trust the government, we're all in this together. So we all feel good and don't actually try to change the country and realize that globalism is the problem, not the answer. That the fruits of this political class are ultra bad, not super good. And then Kurt Nimmo has an article on Infowars.com. State of the Union takeaway, dictatorship. And then another one, CNN poll, 67% oppose Obama's executive agenda. And that's their viewers. They're propagandized establishment viewers, 67%. I mean, it's got to be 90% people I'm talking to are freaked out. Every black person I know that I talk to, who the media says all support Obama still, they don't support Obama. I mean, it's a hoax, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another one. Krauthammer, when Obama repeated Guantanamo, you knew he'd sort of run out of ideas. Absolutely. He's like, let me fly people secretly to black sites and ghost sites, as they're properly called. Media calls them black sites, really called ghost sites. Let us take people into real torture camps. Give me unlimited power to disappear people. Why, there's a law that directs the Pentagon to not let me do that. I've got the NDAA saying I can do that, but there's a another law. And he looks at the Joint Chiefs, you need to get behind me. It was all a push for dictatorship, exactly as we knew. And it's now being discussed on even MSNBC. And they're even having trouble promoting, well, the Republicans are blocking everything, so he's got to act alone. But they're trying to sell it, and CNN's trying to sell it. But guess what? Tyranny is not being bought. People really fundamentally get, we're in a depression for most people. And you guys try to act like, you know, he said 5 years into a recovery, Obama said. He turned it around in a year. No, what they did was is game every statistic to a level never before seen. I mean, this is the guy that had his people put out statistics that raising the debt doesn't raise the debt. Do I even need to explain to new listeners why that's a fallacy? That's like saying 2 + 2 = 0. Do I need to explain that 2 + 2 does not = 0? What does 2 + 2 equal? Come on, folks. What's it equal? If you're a new listener, a big Obama supporter out there, it equals 4. It does not equal 0. If you increase the debt, it increases the debt. By the way, if you're a new listener, you don't believe me? He said that in a whole bunch of speeches. And he said, you can keep your doctor and it'll cut your thing in half and it'll be $2,500 a year. And it'll be the cost of a cable bill or phone bill, and I'm not going to come after any of your guns, and I'm not going to hire a single lobbyist, and I'm going to be the most transparent, and I'm not going to have signing orders, and I'm going to give you 5 days to read the bills. I mean, everything is a lie. He even said in the campaign, and in the second State of the Union, I will not try to make churches be involved in abortions or birth control. Ramming that through. Obamacare does not have... Remember when he said Obamacare does not give illegal aliens free health care? And then the congressman said, you lie. If you guys pull up the congressman, the famous clip, a congressman tells Obama, you lie, it'll be on YouTube. And the whole point is, but we'll play that old clip later. I want to get to these new ones first. We played it on the nightly news last night. It's like when you're met with a solid wall of lies. It's never been a solid wall. I mean, even the controlled media, the state-run media, had enough sense to tell some truth years ago, or they knew they'd lose all their viewers. But now in the face of having competition by new media, by real media, by alternative media, by the media, they've ceased to be media. We now fill the vacuum. We're not the alternative. We are the media. We're not as important as CNN. I'm not bragging. It's a fact. We are more important. We really will tell it like it is. We really do have an agenda, and we're open about it, of freedom and telling the truth and stomping tyrants into the ground politically. You know, real advanced warfare is psychological. Real advanced warfare is never having a physical confrontation. And that's what they're trying to do with us. Well, I'm just hitting them with pure truth, as pure as I can tell it. We all see through rose-colored glasses. We all distort things one way or the other. Light itself bends and is distorted in this time-space continuum. But I'm trying to tell the truth. I have a spirit of the truth. I want justice. And that's who we are. That's who you are. If you have a local blog, you're just as important as the local newspaper. And if that local newspaper has been proven to be a shell operation, you're more important. In fact, you're the answer to their 1984. What trumps a 1984 card? 1776. I wonder what it is. If you minus 1776 out of 1984, what number do you come up with? Now, according to Common Core, I could just say whatever number I want, about 5 million. I mean, what is the calculator? 1776, 208, whatever that means. But under Common Core, I could just say 250. Why not? You don't agree with me, you're racist. You don't like being lied to? I mean, Obama said 2 weeks ago that... It really hit me last night that Obama said 2 weeks ago, quote, my approval rating is down because of race, because of racism. And I started ranting last night during the State of the Union, you know, over the commander in traitorship, the El Comandante, El Jefe, Kim Jong-un, the great, the dear leader. And there it is. Obama says racial animus blunts approval, New Yorker reports. Bloomberg reports on New Yorker. I like how the guys actually pull up whatever I'm talking about. So I'll give you the actual quote. Great job, guys. Johnny on the spot. That's kind of sexist to say Johnny. How about Jenny on the spot? Even though a guy did find it. See, they want us to be all obsessed with how we're being racist or we're being sexist, or we won't even communicate because we feel guilty for doing nothing while they're engaged in total race baiting and division. But it really hit me, and I got angry last night. I was thinking about all the stuff George Soros is doing, trying to overthrow Ukraine and put him under EU tyranny. And I thought about how when he was 11 to 15, how he was a top agent in major cities, going in and getting Jews to trust him and then setting them up and stealing everything they had. And he knew how to find where Jews were hiding. And somehow that makes him a hero on 60 Minutes, where he admitted all that and said it wasn't bad what he did. Because that's, quote, how he survived. I mean, that is the opposite of being a good person. That is the opposite of being honorable. And I just thought about how he has all these media organizations that attack me and hate me and say they're going to infiltrate us and bring us down. And it's like an act of war against me and my family. You really are scum. Some freak Nazi collaborator is running the ADL and having them say I'm anti-Semitic and having MSNBC say I'm deeply racist with no proof when my grandfathers both almost died in the Army Air Corps fighting Adolf Hitler. I reject your racist crap, you Nazi collaborating filth. I talked to somebody that knows George Soros. They were in his house. It's all black with black furniture. What a freak, man. What a demon. No wonder. And I just really, these people hate us. These people are coming after us. They're pure evil. This guy worked with the people that tried to kill my grandfathers. And then they have the nerve. One grandfather crashed on landing, almost died. The other one was in a whole bunch of missions and then had eye stroke from the sun, not wearing sunglasses, and was blind for a couple days. And that was by the grace of God, because his plane took off with the crew when he wasn't piloting it and got blown up over Germany. Because they were in North Africa, then they were in Italy, and then my dad was explaining to me last night, because he's read all the stuff, they were over Germany. Imagine my grandfather in flying coffins. That's what he was flew in, then B-17s, being shot up, being attacked, the whole nine yards. By the grace of God, what's it called when you burn your eyes in the sun? It's not a heat stroke. The point is, by the grace of God, I wouldn't even exist. I barely exist by a millimeter. Because flash burn. And then here's George Soros and CNN and MSNBC saying, implying I'm a Nazi or something. Man, those are fighting words, you punk, slime piece of crap. I am so sick of you people with your fake moral high ground. And then I start seeing Obama, this race pimp, and the Democratic Party, it just started hitting me. They were the Ku Klux Klan. You can pull up the LBJ quotes from his letters and stuff, and you know, about how I'm not about to have these, you know, N-words voting Republican and all this stuff and getting their rights and everything. We're going to get them on welfare and get these people back on the plantation, these dirty, stinking... I mean, this is the moral high ground of these. George Soros, a top Nazi collaborator, moral high ground. ADL gives him awards. Arnold Schwarzenegger wears Nazi uniforms, death's head Nazi belts, told Rolling Stone he admires Hitler and wants to be a dictator, was in gay porn. You know, but my point is, when a real conservative was in that, they'd never get office. But he's, because he's a sellout to the New World Order, the ADL gives him awards. I mean, the ADL are literally Nazi collaborators. That just hit me. I mean, it is so wild. Yeah, they just pulled up the quotes. These N-words, they're getting pretty uppity these days, and that's the problem for us, since they've got something now they never had before, the political pull to back up their uppityness. This is LBJ. Now we've got to do something about this. We've got to give them a little something. This is right after Eisenhower got the Civil Rights Act passed. Just enough to quiet them down, not enough to make a difference. Well, if we don't move at all, then their allies will line up against us and there will be no way of stopping them. We'll lose a filibuster and there'll be no way of putting the brake on all sorts of wild legislation. It'll be Reconstruction all over again by the Republicans. I mean, I'm not romanticizing the Republicans either, but compare, I mean, the Democratic Party is Grand Dragon Ku Klux Klan. But when the Republicans and the war vets and the Christians all came together and said, we're not going to do this racist stuff anymore, they go, oh, you know what? Let me take the Grand Dragon hat off, Senator Burr. Oh, I love you. Oh, and you turn on MSNBC, it's race this, it's race that. It's the exact stuff the Klan would use to try to recruit poor whites to politically control them. It was just a mafia. That's all it was, Dixie Mafia. That's all they've done is now convert over. And they're playing this giant race game now with everybody. And they're going to bring in the illegal aliens to be their 30 million strong new Klan brigade. And then another 30 million to vote to take everybody's guns. And then we're like, hey, that's a racist group. And but we're not. Shut up, racist. It's tough. He works better now. Got them all working for him. I mean, and it's just, I mean, you got a Nazi collaborator. You got Obama up here who knows full well he's manipulating blacks. I mean, it's just they're so evil. And it's like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, Fox Sports. The NRA is the new Klan. When the NRA was founded to fight the Klan. I mean, it is literally, literally false reality with these people. Literal false reality with the moron population out there. Margaret Sanger said it. You can pull up her quote. She said, we need to kill these black people. We need to get control of them. We're going to buy off all the black preachers. And we're going to make sure nobody gets uppity. Then we're going to abort every one of these people. And they've done it. And then if they couldn't abort you, they create the gangster culture and sell that on MTV to destroy the black community. And then like a disease, that culture then spreads everywhere else to the entire world. Weaponized CIA culture. You know, it's been declassified. They put out degenerate art, degenerate porn to again, destabilize and sabotage the psyche. And I always told you that it was declassified last year. They do that. What do you think gay marriages and satanic ceremonies at every live TV event are? What do you think them teaching five-year-olds to masturbate in public schools are? It is meant to screw everyone up. This is psychological warfare. To where you don't care if you have the right to not have big banks get taxes passed to bankrupt you while they're exempt. That's the real discrimination. That's the true violation of equality. Equality means just weights and measures. All men are created equal means all men have the same rights. It does not mean everyone's actually equal. If that was the case, I would be playing in the Super Bowl this week. Am I equal to those guys genetically? No. And all the drugs they're on? No. I mean, should we put, you know, I don't know, go next door, find some woman, 110-pound secretary, you know, let's have equality. Let's put her in the Super Bowl coming up. Between the mules and the turkeys or whatever's playing next weekend. So all of this is going on, ladies and gentlemen. All of this is happening. And that's just one example of the fraud, of the complete and total fraud that is George Soros and Obama and all of them. And I just reject you. I see you and your filth and your con artist and your scum and your time's coming, okay? You're never going to get away with all your BS, and all the polls, all the numbers show it. So go ahead and blow up whatever buildings you're going to blow up, globalist, and try to blame it on this. Not going to work. Because you know why? Quite frankly, I don't want to die and I enjoy life, but quite frankly, I'm so dedicated in this quest to fight tyranny, it's exhausting. I'm not worried about you killing me, scum. I'm coming at you forever. Never backing down. Never leaving. I'm coming for your ass, and we are going to beat you. And George Soros, I want to tell you something, you old man. When you die, you're going straight into hell. I know you're practicing in that house with all that satanic crap in it and black furniture and black walls, but believe me, you're going to get everything you want. Don't worry. Let's go out with Obama right now. All your black mirrors. And oh, I know what you see in those. Well, you see your daddy, don't you? Let's go ahead and play him saying citizenship is going after guns. Here it is.
Citizenship means standing up for the lives that gun violence steals from us each day. I've seen the courage of parents, students, pastors, police officers all over this country who say, we are not afraid.
See, courage,
and I intend to keep
is hating guns.
War without Congress.
We're not afraid.
More tragedies from visiting innocent Americans.
He's invoking fear of guns when gun violence is down
like
51%. total crime with guns, 61%. Look it up, Justice Department's own numbers, which they try to hide under their big fat butts. And you say, well, wait, if Obama's got bad statistics, why are you saying those are good? The British crime statistics have been proven fake by some of their top police chiefs. The FBI numbers, we'll come back and play the rest of it. The FBI numbers are collated off local crime statistics, and they're not perfect, but they're some of the best statistics in the world because they've been gathering them since the 20s. And it's like, how many murders were there in Austin? And give or take, it's a pretty darn accurate number. It's the model of statistics worldwide. And the facts are gun crime is plunging as we get more guns.
I was trained in firearms. I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me. If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
We're back live, broadcasting worldwide. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We've got Daniel Estelin joining us. Is he in Spain, or where's he at right now? Spain. He's going to be joining us. And then we're going to have Gerald Celente come on as well. But I'll open the phones up at the bottom of the next hour. There is so much news. But again, we have the clips, but you saw them, where Obama said he'll use dictatorial power to get done what he has to. On guns, you name it. He said he'd try to legalize the illegals with executive orders if they wouldn't do it. Quote, with or without Congress. Critics respond he doesn't have the authority to act unilaterally. Well, it's not even critics, it's the Constitution. And Boehner said before the speech, well, he can do some stuff executively if we don't do it, but it better not violate the Constitution. The president acting alone on borders, citizenship, guns, I mean, that's all in the Bill of Rights, folks, in the Constitution. On military stuff, the president does not have the authority to do that. The Congress is like the football coaches. They give the quarterback the plays. Quarterback doesn't start calling the plays on his own. And that's a fact in the referees for the courts. But now we have the quarterback running everything. And guess what? He's playing for the other team. And that's the issue. If you study subversion, how empires take over, how the communists take over, it's the same thing. You come in, you subvert, you turn people against each other, you dumb them down. You take over the institutions and then have them do bad things to discredit the institutions so you can then fully destroy them and bring in tyranny. That's why I don't just sit here and attack police, even though they're trying to turn them into evil forces, and in some cases they are, is because that plays into it. And then we attack the police, and then they get told by the establishment, see, they're your enemy, and then they're able to co-opt them while discrediting the institutions so they can later totally reform it into something 10 times worse. Oh, Obamacare, it's not working too well. I'll just be a dictator and then make it worse. Don't worry, I'm going to make the insurance companies not kick you off, and then he's not doing that. It's all just, here, I'm going to give you a hand. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you a hand again. It'd be like if somebody said, hey, shake my hand. And you went, woohoo, I'm too cool, and put your hand through your hair. And you go, shake my hand again. It's like to a two-year-old playing with him. Oh, I tell you what, shake my hand again. Oh, shake my hand again. And in this stunted society, people want to be treated bad. I mean, on average, women want to be treated bad. They think that's dominance. That's not dominance. That's a twisted form of fake dominance on the surface. Men think it's cool to be treated bad, and that whoever treats them bad must be in charge. I mean, it is just incredible. It's incredible. I mean, they've written books about it, but it's true. You can walk up to beautiful women and tell them they're ugly, and they'll go home with you. I mean, it is sick, folks. It is totally sick, and it's not normal. Magicians will tell you that people are easier to hypnotize now. It's because they're already in a trance, in the first stages of a trance. And so what am I here to do? I want people out of their trance so you can naked-eyed look at what's going on for yourself. And man, we got a bunch of crooks taking over. And we better get serious and learn how this stuff works. Because believe me, the animating contest of liberty. You think you get excited about a football game? Wait till you learn about what these guys are doing and how they're coming after you and your family. That's where all that wargaming comes from that they use to get you obsessed with sports. You're meant to be learning all the political players, all the tricks, all the everything. But they told you there is no handoff. There is no tricks.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we're broadcasting worldwide. Daniel Estulin from Spain is coming up with a lot of key intel, those inside sources, inside the global power structure. I've checked his sources. His info is very good. He'll be joining us via video Skype, which is going to be great. We're usually on a crackly phone line. Did you say you had that clip? I'm sorry, I heard you say something in my ear. Okay, well, we're getting the clip of Obama saying he'll act alone and operate on his own. But he's been saying that a lot in the State of the Union yesterday. But later after Estulin leaves us, I want to talk about Vladimir Putin, because I really thought about Vladimir Putin a lot last night and the geopolitical things that are happening. And when you've gone through the depths of evil like the Russians have for 80 years, I don't romanticize the strongman Putin, but there is a psychological thing that happens sometimes when someone's actually in control, and Putin is in command to a great extent, where people actually want to build up society and get what you call a philosopher king. And the globalists actually endorse that idea, but it never really manifests. And I wouldn't say he is a philosopher king, but he, compared to Obama, he is. Vladimir Putin is a philosopher king compared to Obama. Because he's saying men need to be strong, women need to be women and strong, family, don't try to recruit kids. You want to destabilize us with psychological warfare. I mean, that's what it is. They don't want to make kids gay because they love gay people. They want to absolutely rewrite, be like trying to teach, you know, fish to be gay. Well, they wouldn't reproduce. There'd be no more fish. It's extinct yourself. It has nothing to do with hating someone's, you know, sexual situation. It's the force feeding of it. And Putin, I remember reading this and seeing this, was a big fan of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote the Gulag Archipelago, and talked about a strong Russia, nationalism, going back to freedom, being honorable, being stoic, and really kind of welding a 1776 type idea into the old Russian stoic Viking, because that's what Russia is, means the Rus, the Red, really founded by the Vikings in Western Russia. And merge with some Asian groups, but that's what they are. It's kind of an Asiatic Viking group, Asian Viking splice. And that's why Russians are so smart, but they also have their problems. They were under Tsarist systems for so long that they never had a chance at freedom. And then our criminal government, with the big banks, on record, put the Bolsheviks in 1917. I mean, we owe Russia such an apology. They've been our ally all along against the British. They did so much for this country. In the Civil War, you name it. And then we just absolutely let the globalists put in the worst of the worst and just butcher those people up one side and down the other. And they used Russia as a giant engine of evil against Ukraine, Poland, Romania, what's the Czech Republic now. And then it created incredible enmity between Slavs and Slavs. Just total evil. And now the West is attacking them with Al-Qaeda. And you look at Putin, he clearly, that's what people resonate with it, he is confident because he met a lot with Solzhenitsyn, and Solzhenitsyn literally grabbed Putin and said, you will not sell people out, you'll stop being a gangster. This is reportedly a decade ago, and this only leaked out through some of my connections and sources. I went and checked it, and it's been hinted at here and there and confirmed that Solzhenitsyn basically, and he met with him right before he died too, said, stop being a sellout. Be a knight for Russia. Stand up. Be real. They will follow you. And that's why he came here in the 80s and Solzhenitsyn left. Very honorable, stoic man, because he came and saw the decadence and the evil, and he was like, it's growing here. And it's not even like the Soviets did this to us. They would just, like a judo move, take all of our own evil that was already there, and then the punch comes, they would take it and pull it along with them. And that's why it's so easy to be evil. Because if you just want to wreck people and use their ignorance against them, of course you can dominate them. But who wants to dominate a destroyed person? You only dominate someone who is coming down on you and has attacked you first. And then all bets are off. You've got to do whatever it takes to defeat them. And that's what we need, is real warriors of liberty. And I'm not saying Putin's perfect, but he has gone through a process that, compared to Obama, is very good.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
And I'm eager to work with all of you. But America does not stand still, and neither will I. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do.
And he went on to say he'd use dictatorial powers to go after the Second Amendment and more. So what a speech. Daniel Estulin joins us. He is a best-selling author and a Bilderberg sleuth. And I consider him a friend of mine, and he's written an excellent new book. We're not selling it, but we should be selling it at the InfoWars store, Trans Evolution, The Coming Age of Human Destruction. Daniel Estulin, from the author of The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, and it's available from Trine Day. And is he able to stay with us till 40 after? I forgot to ask you guys that, or has he got to go at the bottom of the hour? Because I wanted to get that question into him earlier, last hour. Just ask him now before we go to him. Okay, great. The whole point here is that everything he's talked about, and the late Jim Tucker talked about, and then I've talked about, and Ron Paul's talked about, and that Vladimir Putin is talking about, it's bizarre, folks, that they've put top people over Russian state-run TV that basically talk about cancer viruses and vaccines, the plan to destroy the family, the New World Order. And the Russians are going with a truthful way to try to unify their country from outside attack and overthrow. And I don't like the fact that Putin's been cracking down on the press and people, but those are foreign-proven Soros-run groups. So it's a serious situation. What do you do when you are being infiltrated by foreign powers? That's what the New World Order is. It's a corporate, above-the-law, breakaway civilization that wants to build its own global technocracy. And Daniel Estulin, I happen to know via some other connections, and Tucker before he died, and then some other folks, then I brought it up to Estulin one time, over the phone, he said, well, yeah, that is one of my sources. That, I mean, he really does have these big sources. High-level Hollywood, high-level banking, high-level Bilderberg. And so that's why he's basically saying the same thing I say, because it's not like we're reading from the same sheet of music. It's not music we're looking at. It's a death warrant on humanity. We're looking from different perspectives at the same program being rolled out. And his book, I just began to read it this weekend. I'm almost done. I even learned something reading, and which I mean, I know a lot, and you know, just the way he puts things really gets people to think, and it's got a good cover to get the average folks thinking out there. And the reason I'm pitching it, even though I'm not selling it is really, really important for people to understand the real mindset of who runs the planet. And so I want to get into his book first, but then the bottom of the hour, I want him to give us his take on what's happening geopolitically, the race from Spain to where he's at, from Greece to Japan to everywhere towards dictatorship and towards Goldman Sachs people being appointed as presidents. I mean, this is corporate world government. What he thinks about Soros trying to overthrow Ukraine because they wouldn't join the EU. Just simply amazing. The time in history we're entering, and the fact that we've been so right. I wish we weren't right. Daniel, do you wake up a lot of times in the middle of the night like I do and just wish that we'd been wrong? I mean, it's not very satisfying to be so dead on, is it?
No, it's not. First of all, Alex, it's great to be back on your show. I certainly do consider you to be a very, very good friend of mine, very proud of all the things that you and I have done together over the years, standing shoulder to shoulder way back in the 2006 Bilderberg Conference, if you remember, and a few other events as well. So I'm very, very, very honored to be back on your show. You know, it's, as you said, you know, from Greece to Spain to the United States, Ukraine, Russia, we've seen this before. It's deja vu, you know, over and over and over again. And be it Soros in the Ukraine, or be it Soros in the Soviet Union or post-Soviet Union, Russia, as they try to destroy Russia, you know, in the 1990s, trying to turn it into a... Well, it lost its statehood. It became a protectorate. And you had the Human Rights Watch in there. You had the George Soros and the Harvard Endowment and the Carnegies and Goldman Sachs and the same players over and over again in all these same locations, always doing the same thing. And as some of my sources have said, when I asked them, I said, why do you guys always do the same thing over and over again? They said to me, because it works. Why would we change?
That's right. That's why they run the same attack profile. But I think that is their weakness, is that if we get the public to realize that, it's game over. And I think their old tricks are starting to fail.
You know, you have a very good point there, Alex. I listen to your show, not every night, but certainly a lot of the times, because, you know, your morning is our afternoon.
Yes, sir.
It's 7 o'clock, 7:15 in the afternoon here, p.m. But, you know, back in 2005, when Jim Tucker, God bless his soul, and I were the only two journalists who covered the Rotherhagen Bilderberg Conference. And at that conference, I learned something which basically is the backbone to this new book, The Transhumanism, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. It was based on the discussion at that meeting, which later turned into the Strategic Trends Report 2007-2036, which at the time was a secret source document on the future of humanity. I got a hold of that in 2005, was looking through it, and I said to myself, this isn't the future, this is the present. And the present that they were talking about back in 2005, which turned in 2007 into a report, which is now available, you can download it on for free on the internet, is the backbone of what we're seeing right now. You know, the age of transition to a global civilization. And this is exactly what we're seeing right now. And some of the terms from back then that I remember reading in the report, they were talking about flash mobs. What was a flash mob? I said to myself in 2005, I don't understand what it means. Well, we do now. You look at Turkey, you look at Kiev. One day, everything is fine. The next day, the city's being burned down by people we don't know where they came from. That's a flash mob. It was in the report, which is the backbone to my book, Transhumanism.
Amazing. And just put it all in scope, and then we'll drill down into to details. What is the master plan? If you say you had 4 minutes till break, 4 minutes to talk to 3 million people and encapsulate, if they succeed, what will be left and what the timescales are?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the basic theory is this. If you think of a pyramidal structure, Alex, 6,000 years ago, who controlled knowledge? High priests. And they fed it to us one little droplet at a time. We, the great unwashed then or now, basically were fed this information just enough with so we can do our daily, you know, chores and live day to day. Well, today, this pyramid is upside-down pyramid because of the internet revolution. Anybody, anywhere in the world, be it you, I, somebody in Japan, or a Koya Indian sitting in a tree in the middle of an Amazon forest with a computer and access to internet, has access at his fingertips to the entire history of knowledge of mankind. So if you're the elite, that's bad news for them, because suddenly the playing field, because of these technological advancements, has been evened on the one hand. But on the other hand, the elite said to themselves, we got to do something. And they're using the technology and the advancement to create a bigger and bigger and bigger gap, which we thought were, you know, was actually being bridged. So, you know, if you spend trillions or quadrillions or gazillions of dollars in trying to, you know, use the technology to get so far ahead of what we are right now, you can actually do this because they have the money. And, you know, one of the things I'm talking about in this book, and it is, I think, absolutely revolutionary, is that our children, your children, my children, my oldest daughter is 16, they're the last truly human generation of human beings on the planet. Her children and, you know, her children's children are going to be transhumans, post-humans, man-machine, cyborgs, beings who are not totally human, humans who are not 100% beings. We're literally living at the cusp of the greatest change in the history of mankind, and it has nothing to do with a microchip in your hand. It is technology that is so advanced that people literally will be able to, in less than a generation, download their consciousness onto a computer and live forever. And that's what a transhumanist movement is all about. And that's why a book is called Transevolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction.
And they're saying they're not going to give us free will. They're just going to do it. And it's so much more advanced than a chip. We carry a little computer that watches everything we do and tracks everything we do better than a supercomputer of 20 years ago. Now they have the quantum computers. And the key here, Daniel, is the prediction of the future, where Amazon can now ship you your order before you order it with 100% accuracy. This was always the key. The literal crystal ball, where they get enough data on the world and how things work, they can predict the future. And then with that data, they can manipulate the future. We're literally seeing godlike power being given to this degenerate elite.
It's very interesting, Alex. In the last 50 years, we've learned more than the entire history of mankind. And in the next 20, we'll have learned more than the last 50 and than all the history of mankind. And it's going to get to a point in about a generation and a half from now where we'll be doubling our knowledge every year. And that's something unfathomable for people, because we don't even know what the future is going to look like. And that's one of the things about this book. You know, with Bilderberg, I answered a lot of the questions. But with this book, when you finish it, you have more questions than answers, because it's the future, and we really don't know, even if we try to extrapolate it. There's just so many unknowns, but we certainly see where all of it is going.
That's right, and the elite may be good at watching us and manipulating us, but look at them themselves trying to dumb us down and control us. That shows they're not enlightened right there, and with this power, I don't know if we're going to make it out of this, Daniel.
Well, you know, they need to dumb us down. You know, the debasement of education is part of it, because people who are aware of what's going on, people who understand history, who understand geography, who can add, who can subtract, who are interested and keen, and who realize that what separates us from animals is this divine spark of reason that we have, which allows us, to invent, to investigate, to discover.
To be empowered individuals with a spark of creativity, to where we might have our own destiny instead of being their robot slaves.
Don't want no shackles.
That's my good buddy Jimmy Vaughn bringing us
in. Don't want no shackles on me.
Playing that acoustic.
Don't want no shackles. Don't want no shackles on me.
See, that's the issue, is they are seducing us with these technologies. They're rolling them out. They let it have some good aspects. But down the road, we're already now to that point, it's about total human control. The NSA, all of it. And like children, the public are taught to deny that this stuff's even going on. But Daniel Estulin is an expert on this. He has the sources. So much of this is now out in the open. A big hope is within the establishment itself. They may, you know, need to basically get religion to understand this program will destroy them. But they say they're willing to do that if it allows them to have immortality. They believe they'll have immortality merging with her, to use that example with a popular film out there, a very powerful dystopic film I want to do a review of soon. And that's what we're facing here. This is the end of humanity. You can see this technology is dumbing us down. It's not empowering us overall because it's being deployed in a dehumanizing way. Daniel Estulin, this is the most powerful interview ever with you. You're really getting fiery here talking about to be or not to be. That is the question, and that spark of humanity. Well, I choose to be a human. I've seen all the disasters these people engage in. And what I'm saying is they've got a big plan. They are visionaries. They're in control. They steal our wealth. But I'm saying I don't like their dream, and I don't think their dream will succeed. But regardless, we need to educate the public about their nightmare they're trying to create. Daniel Estulin.
Absolutely, Alex. You know, God bless you. You know, what is absolutely, you know, is true is that the rise of the machine is here. And we're facing the time of the unconscious evolution period is almost finished. And we come to this new period when a controlled human evolution can and will happen, and the elite believe that it will happen. Technological progress will be concentrated on making a new body for the human being. The plan is to incrementally move the human mind into more disembodied and futuristic vehicles. Not bodies, but vehicles. First, a humanoid robot controlled entirely by a human brain via brain-machine interface. Then a conscious human brain transplanted into a humanoid robot. Then consciousness uploaded to a computer. And finally, a hologram that contains a full conscious human mind. DARPA is funding dozens of human augmentation projects around the world to radically improve the performance, mental capacity, and resilience, first in soldiers, obviously, and then later on in humans. Everything from tapping the potential of our unconscious mind to augmented cognition and the creation of an uninhibited combat vehicles, whereby the military expects in the very near future for individual pilots to fly entire squadrons of robot planes. They're working on, you know, this mind-boggling experience such as cybernetic insects. And we see this in films like G.I. Joe. It's already there.
It is a total genetic rewrite of the planet, overthrowing the creation. And then you look at the byproduct, the fruits of all their programs. It's dehumanizing. It's not even empowering. And they're not being honest with the public. All the white papers you're mentioning that your book's based on, it's out there. It's on record, but people need to understand this is the end of humanity, and they are aggressively right now trying to destroy the family. Vladimir Putin speaks out against that, and he's a bad person.
You know, because of the synergy, Alex, the interplay of three great revolutions, the quantum, the computer and biotech revolutions, again, we have learned so much in such a short period of time. The marvels of science like the internet, telecommunication satellites, laser beams, radio, television, microwave, structures of DNA molecules, biotechnology, all of it ultimately comes from quantum theory, and they dominate this. You know, we have the means through genetics, robotics, information technology, and nanotech to control matter and energy and life itself. We have never seen anything like this before, and it is raising profound questions about what it means to be human. And some of these questions, you know, we're seeing by public officials. Putin is talking about this, which is one of the reasons I'm mentioning this. It is being completely ignored in the United States. But this intense cross-pollination between the computer, biotech, and quantum revolutions will give us unprecedented power in the 21st century. And this is something that, as you said, people simply are unaware of.
That's right. And if I'm going to talk to you in the next long segment, this is intriguing, Daniel, about your ideas to try to turn this around. Because I believe if we can have a revolution through your book and other systems of understanding about this, and have humans know that they've got to actively be part of this decision-making process, it could actually empower humanity with the nanotech, the rest of it, and we could literally be launching space fleets in just a few decades to colonize space in a way to empower humanity while maintaining our humanity, but also, if we choose, then having a separate, almost avatar, that we test these systems with. And I believe that is the program that should be followed. But I want to talk about this on the other side with you.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Bottom line, I want to defend the human continuity. We have seed banks. The globalists have emergency seed and ARC banks because they know they're rewriting the entire genetic code of the planet. In case things go wrong, they have a backup. What about a backup for humanity? Undoubtedly, the eugenicists that developed biometrics in 1860s and envisioned the genetic code and the double helix that has been the ancient sign of medicine for 6,000 years, the ancients knew a lot more, folks, than the modern historians will tell you. And that's all part of the secret societies. That's all part of the Illuminati, the priest class that Daniel Estulin was so eloquently, investigative journalist, best-selling author, sold tens of millions of copies of his nonfiction books in Europe. He's also written novels that are basically like Pachinik, real, but the names are changed to protect the innocent. And a lot of important information at his website as well. And I will give you that address. It's danieleslin.com. And I know his site, but he's got several others up there, but that's the main one. It's an excellent site. But I want to talk to him about free will, because that's what he's getting at here. This is freedom versus slavery. I'm not against humans developing and advancing. The problem is the spirit that animates, the ghost that animates the globalist machine is very anti-human, very predatory. Hey, let the troops use DU, let them die. Hey, let the Navy drive through the radiation and let the troops be in wheelchairs and catheterized and dying. So what? But then have football games, how much we love the troops. The globalists hate pure, good, loving people. They hate altruistic knights. More and more I realize that they are threatened by good people because they've cheated to get into control, and they can't help their psychopathic and sociopathic and other, you know, criminology designations. And it is a predatory group that's infested civilization since its beginnings. So I want to ask Daniel Estulin, we need to put out, because obviously no one's going to stop this march forward, and the church is so controlled, they just say, oh, the world's going to end next week, don't worry about it. But obviously that's not what's going on here. There's a great challenge coming. We need to be the salt of the earth, and I'm asking you what you think we should do to say, hey, there is advanced breakaway civilization. It's 30, 40 years ahead, the globalists say. A, how advanced are they in the breakaway civilization in the corporate and government reservations? And B, what is an alternate vision where we can try to capture the imagination of the public about what's really happening so they're not obsessed with Justin Bieber and they're obsessed more with giant space colony missions to the nearest star systems and habitable planets and the real trailblazer, master builder spirit of humanity?
These are very good questions, Alex. Very, very good questions. You can summarize it, I think, the following way. You know, you have to understand that the people who are our enemy are not the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, so just the names. But it's a different movement. One of the things I talk about in the book is this transhumanist movement. We're taking as this vector for the future. Mega projects such as Russia 2045 movement, which they intend to create this new civilization aimed at future human development and evolution by integrating these new discoveries and developments from science, from physics, you know, energetics, aeronautics, bioengineering, nanotechnology, neurology, cybernetics, cognitive science, and on and so forth. And the Rockefellers of this world really have nothing to do or to say in this matter because they will have been dead by then. But the point is that the transhumanists, and I think the face of transhumanism is Ray Kurzweil, one of the greatest inventors of the 20th century. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that are being done by him right now have very little to do with helping humanity. He's the
head of Google development. He thinks he's going to become God.
That's right, exactly, Ray Kurzweil. Now, the whole idea behind this transhumanist movement, if you want to know what it is, it's the symbol is H plus, human plus, transhuman, is this ultra-high-tech dream of computer scientists, philosophers, neuroscientists, and many others to use radical advances in technology to augment the human body, human mind, and ultimately the entire human experience. And these people wish to become post-human, which is someone who has been modified and with performance-enhancing body, not drugs, body and brain augmentations to the point that they could no longer call themselves human, which is why, again, the Rockefellers have nothing to do with
it. And they describe us like bugs that, okay, you don't have to get augmented, but you'll be like a bug. We might step on you. And my issue is that Google and the rest of them at the head of this, the systems are all being designed to control. They claim on the surface it's a system to empower, but I don't see that at the heart of it.
No, you're absolutely right. You got it. You're absolutely right. You're one of the few people who said it exactly how it is. Look, neurochip interfaces, computer chips that connect directly to the brain are being developed right now. And the ultimate goal of the brain chip will be to increase intelligence thousands of times over, basically turning the human brain into the supercomputer. Lifelong emotional well-being is also a key concept, you know, for the transhumanist movement. And they can achieve this through a recalibration of the pleasure centers in the brain. Pharmaceutical mood renders have been suggested.
Wireheads.
Exactly, which will be cleaner and safer than the mind-altering drugs. This is Huxley's 21st century vision of scientific dictatorship without tears. But behind all of this, no matter how you look at it, you know, this technology is something that, you know, we've talked about a lot before. It's a transhumanist movement. And the post-humanity, you know, will be a new human which has been genetically engineered and brain-chipped for total control, part man and part machine. This new man will no longer have a need of the sexual reproductive function.
That's right.
And Elite's plan is to reduce the world's population. You know, I can't think of a better way to do that. And not only that, but with through synthetic biology, they're changing our DNA through genetically modified crop. They can literally create beings who are not human that have never existed on the planet Earth. So why do they need men and women, you know, as a couple? They don't need that anymore, which is why, as you said on your website yesterday, I think it was, you know, talking about the Illuminati agenda at the last Grammy Awards. Well, this is exactly why they're pushing it. And this is one of the reasons why they hate people like Putin, who is absolutely against this kind of an agenda.
That's right. And here's the key. I want to ask you this point. They're toxifying the environment on purpose. Then the crisis comes. They use that to bring in Agenda 21 and neo-feudalism to shut people down for social control so we can then follow their scientific dictatorial edicts, always posing as the savior and clearly destroying reproductive fertility, clearly wrecking humanity, where it's going to be impossible to live in the civilization unless you accept the transhumanism. It is simply amazing. This is beyond a H.P. Lovecraft book. It's beyond a Bram a Dracula. This is literally something out of the mind of the devil.
Well, Alex, you know, these technologies, and again, you've talked about this, are not being developed to stop the terrorists, but rather to stop us, the people. And the laws to justify these technologies, they're not written on a whim. They're specifically designed to give the government carte blanche authority over the people during the chaos and confusion of the period we're in right now, which the elite call the Age of Transition. Transition to a planetary civilization. And I think people have to realize that the Bin Ladens and the Gaddafis are not the enemy. They never were the enemy. We, the people, are the enemy.
That's right. We are allowing ourselves to be seduced by this, as we cover in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, that you're in. And when that came out 8 years ago, it was a big hit because people thought it was science fiction. Now they're watching it. The film's more popular than it's ever been because now it almost all came true 8 years later.
You know, I used to buy boxes of your film, Alex, you know, and, you know, go on trips because I travel a lot. Last year, I did 240,000 kilometers, about 200,000 miles of traveling around the world. And I used to give your CDs of your films away to people. And they're saying, who is this Alex Jones character? I said, watch the film and you'll realize. And again, please understand those who are watching and listening to us right now. These are not publicly funded projects for the betterment of humanity, but they're mostly secret experiments sanctioned in the name of defense, which when you put it on its head, is crime prevention and extrapolated into the future, is tailor-made to pull down any rebellion by the 99% of the world's population destined to live in abject poverty and crime-infested megacities of the future, just as the Strategic Trends Report talks about, which I read way, way, way back in 2005, almost 10 years ago, and so much, if not all of it, is, you know, coming true. And
that's what's incredible. That's what's incredible. And people need to understand. They go, well, I don't care if the NSA watches me or whatever, because I've done nothing wrong. Well, why don't you live in a glass house then? Why don't you, I'm tempted to dress up like an agent, you know, in black, a man in black, and then go look in people's windows in broad daylight and see them call the police on me. And I'm going to say, well, what's wrong? The government does it just to illustrate with a camera crew, or to go up people on the street and say, do you mind if you wear clear raincoats just to make sure you're not carrying a weapon? And they'll go, well, of course, I'm not going to do that. And go, well, wait, New York's already trying to make people only have clear bags. You know, the point is, we're being trained to be slaves, not even to be enslaved, but to stand down so we can be erased. Daniel, let me ask you this question. Do you think they're going to succeed? What does your gut tell you, and what is the time frame? Because
I don't know the time frame is, because again, one of the things about this book, and it's a bit unnerving in the sense that it asks more questions than it answers, because again, we're talking about the future. But I think, you know, what is absolutely undeniable is this divine spark of reason, which makes us so different from anything else on this planet, can never be replicated, no matter whether your name is Ray Kurzweil, you know, Jason Silva, or any one of these other characters, billionaires and zillionaires, who want to literally turn us into something we're not, men, machine, you know, future post-humans, beings who are not fully human.
Sure.
They will never be able to replicate.
Exactly. He says from a storage thing full of his dad's papers, he's going to resurrect his father. There is no way Ray Kurzweil is going to resurrect his real father. He may have a computer that can fool him, and he thinks it's his father, and he says he doesn't believe in God yet. He's going to be the first God. I call it the God race, the race to be God, and it's as old as the Garden of Eden. It's as old as the Tower of Babel. And if we tried to build a new future out of love and compassion and transparency, we might destroy ourselves. But from this delusional perspective, my concern is these people are, they want to control us, but who controls them? Closing comments, and thank you so much for the time. I'm going to read the whole book. I want to get with your publisher and carry it as well in the InfoWars store. Just another amazing job, Daniel Estulin. What do you want to leave us with in 2 minutes?
You know, I just want to go over some of the things that this report, the Strategic Trends 2007-2036, talked about. They're talking about by 2015, over 50% of the world's population will be living in urban rather than rural environments. In one generation, between 2007 and 36, the population will go from 7 to 10 billion people. They're talking in this report about lack of food, water, medicine, proper hygiene, education, and basic human necessities will spell collapse. And without mincing words, the report states explicitly a growing gap between majority and a small number of highly visible super rich is likely to pose an increasing threat to social order and stability. The result of the growing desperation on the part of humanity will result in civil war, intercommunal violence, insurgency, pervasive criminality, and widespread disorder. This is from 2005. Then they talk about that the countries, the nation states, because of the collapse of the global economy and a breakdown of the international political system, these are all terms from the report, will disappear and will be replaced by mega cities. And a mega city is defined in the report as a city of a base population, minimum 20 million people. And then they say, because of the massive population displacement, cities will swell to unimaginable proportions. And as a result of that, mega cities themselves will collapse by the year 2045. And the effect of this collapse will be equivalent to state failure and to endemic failure of the entire human
race. And of course, that's the British Ministry of Defense report that you had already gotten a copy of in 2005 that came out, what, in The Guardian in 2007, or was it 8?
That's right. That's right, exactly. Well, we had in 2005, when we attended the Bilderberg Conference with Jim, our sources gave us the report, not a complete report because it wasn't written at the time, but parts of the report, and we're seeing their agenda on right now. And again, transhumanism is changing the face of society, and people have to become aware that what's around us and what we're about to become in the very near future will be completely different from anything we've ever seen in the history of mankind.
That's right. Let me quantify this. They're scientists, they're doctors, they're technocrats. The whole world's a laboratory in their own words. They believe out of this epic struggle in a war against general humanity, in survival of the fittest, they will become gods in the great cyber wars, the great technocrat wars, the biotech wars that are to come. They have the underground bases, the redoubts, the supercomputers, and that they will then rid the earth of the scourge of the proto-human as they see us, and they will become, I forget the exact term they use, sentient, omnipresent, super sapien. And it is just totally delusional, and in the end of the day, we'll be lucky if they don't destroy the entire planet.
Give me 10 seconds. I'll just have to say this, Alex. You know, they feel that they have enough technology right now to face the gods and beat them at their own game. And they feel that they today are the gods.
That's right. They don't let people at Bilderberg look at any of them. And it just shows their total disconnect. I talked to so many waiters and waitresses as you have after Bilderberg, and they go, we're going to give you all the info. They were mean to us. They never gave us tips. They have no empathy, no humanity. They want everyone gone, so it's all theirs. Incredible book, incredible job. Daniel, you've got to come back more now that we've got you on Skype. Thank you so much, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you. Well, I salute Daniel Esselin. That is by far our best interview ever. Unbelievable. How do I even come up with a headline good enough to describe how epic these issues are? I mean, that's why I don't go out to Hollywood anymore when famous people invite me out there. Why do I care? That's why I don't care about being on red carpets and stuff. And what does it do? Only if I could get those people to go public to try to cause an awakening and an understanding. That's the only reason famous people are important. I just wish there was a new planet to go to. But we would carry with us the same seeds of our own destruction. We've got a battle here. We've got to go on to the end. There's nowhere to run in the long run, but it may come down to some people having to go to places that are safer, where they can operate better, where they can have asylum. But so many people say, well, it's time for violence. Defensively, you have a right to defend yourself. And when you're in the right, that's what you got to do. I'm not trying to stop you. Believe me, I know all about violence. It's a good friend of mine. Feels good to stand up. It feels good to be a man. It feels good to be strong. It feels good to not be afraid. You got to be smarter than that. You got to go to the higher levels of warfare. You got to just tell the truth and put the truth out there as a comparison to the other option that is the lie. This is not a pretty place we're going to. Look at your children. Have a debate about it. And when you go into church and you don't hear this being discussed, and they got Xboxes back there with your kids at Sunday school, and they're doing all this stuff, and they're telling you how great the government is, you're in a government-run den of absolute money-changing devils, and you know what Christ did. Perhaps when these miscreant control freaks look into the panopticon of data in a shadow of a shadow, a grain of sand at the beach compared to the mind of God, the Supreme Being, perhaps they'll see how ugly they are spiritually and gain knowledge. Because they say with great knowledge comes great sorrow for those that are pure of heart. With this great knowledge, is it nothing but a magnifying glass so they can enjoy their crimes against humanity that much more? You know, my biggest issue is, as I come to full grips with what we face as a civilization and as a species in our long history, I realize that my life is a flash in the pan, twinkle in the eye, like the lilies of the field, out, brief candle. But that it is the great struggle of the race to uplift ourselves and become nobler that I am part of and that you are part of, and that what matters to me is that we make it to the next level and don't destroy ourselves. And the greatest crime of the establishment is telling us how bad we are all day, except when the leader comes out, Obama, and then he tells us we're good. And so we go, oh, he must be good because he's telling us we're good. I mean, it's disgusting. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's like watching a Navy SEAL beat up a newborn baby. It's like watching an NFL linebacker, beat up a one-year-old. I mean, it's really pathetic that they sit there and abuse these people and then laugh at them. It's disgusting. And I personally get to the point up here where trying to run this operation, everything we do, that and the way the establishment tries to guilt anyone in new media that tries to fund themselves, I mean, it's all just mind games manipulating good people. And it's time to vote with your dollars. It's time to spread the word about news sites like Infowars.com, PrisonBonnet.com, DrudgeReport.com. It's such a beacon of liberty. It's time to really get behind the sources that will talk about the real issues that matter and actually put those on the front of the table. Our ascension is a great responsibility, but it's only happening because great tyranny is rising. It's a battle. It's a war. It's not a bunch of narcissistic baloney. It is a struggle. And you will find in that animating struggle of liberty, that animating contest, you will find your humanity. And I know you know that, but don't just take our incredible reports for granted that are on PrisonPlanet.tv and the YouTube channel. Don't just take the news sites and the articles for granted. I mean, it is hard work to ever get to this point. A lot of prayers, a lot of providence. And I'm telling myself that I better appreciate the position I'm in. I'd better understand that I can't get I can't get target fatigue. Being so close to this, get acclimated to just how big a situation we're in. And I do, in closing for this hour, before Joel Salente comes up, I haven't plugged all day. We are listener supported mainly. And we sell the best products I can find, the best water filters at the lowest prices, the Pro Pure and others with promo code water, the best supplements and the best coffee, Wake Up America coffee from Southern Mexico, fluoride shield with the nascent iodine and the five other ingredients that can be taken with the survival shield. But talk to your physician if you have any issues. The Life Straws, we got some combos and some specials running. InfoWarsLife.com, and it is mid-air refueling. It is buying your war bonds. And I know you do it out there, but especially those of you that have wealth and know I'm telling the truth, but kind of got where you are because you have an instinct to be selfish. This is not the time to have that instinct. That was in the old system before we fell. And we're going into a very dangerous time where if you're not all in and don't spread the word about this broadcast and don't become PrisonPlanet.tv members and share your memberships, if you don't buy the products at InfoWarsLife.com, I need a lot more money to be secure, to be strong in the face of the enemy. I need good armor. I need good systems to project the truth at the enemy. I need weapons in the info war. And I need you to fill our war chest at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I've been focusing on the big historical issues and the choices humanity has to make. We'll be looking at trends and the move towards dictatorial government worldwide and the fact that we are going into a global meltdown and these bank runs that are happening with Joel Salente, one of our favorite guests and a good friend, coming up in the next segment. But here are some of the articles that are up on InfoWars.com right now. Award Edward Snowden the Nobel Peace Prize. That came out in the news earlier today. CBS, Norway lawmakers nominate Edward Snowden for Nobel Peace Prize. That would be a major coup against the tyrants, but I don't think they'll actually vote for him. They vote for Al Gore and Henry Kissinger. Why not vote for Joseph Stalin while they're at it, or Genghis Khan? But how about the people award him the Nobel Peace Prize? How about we get millions of likes on a new Facebook page that we just created, that when you like it and get other people to look at it, it will point out that he's a hero, not a traitor, like the establishment has said. And he exposed what we already knew on many, many fronts. And Paul Watson's going to do a video on that as well. But join the InfoWars campaign. Honor the courageous whistleblower. And you scroll down. You can follow that link right there. We should probably got a link right at the top, too. I know Watson wrote this very quickly. Chris Jordan walked in and said, hey, you want us to remind you when you should make a Facebook for something. I think this is a good idea. So that's his idea. It's his inspiration. And it just went up 261 likes. We need to get that up to a million likes. I think we're the first to have this Facebook. So help us make this go viral. I'm going to send it out at Real Alex Jones. I know Paul just did on Twitter. Please retweet it on all of your tweets. Use the enemy platform to get the word out. It's an example of the people. I mean, we know what's happening. We're in an info war. Speaking out is the way to go. And Paul's done a great job already creating this page. So please like it and send it on to your friends and family and tell them to like it as a vote worldwide openly to show that we don't want Obama to get the Peace Prize for launching all these wars. We want a real hero who's gone through so much to get the Peace Prize. Continuing, U.S. intelligence boss predicts more violence in Ukraine. That's because they're helping stir it up. Really, the Soros group is, not even the Pentagon. The Russians are getting pretty mad because they're not trying to take over Ukraine. And then the EU, that's even worse than the Russians. See, I'm all for sovereign countries. I mean, I wish Ukraine was a great free country, the great people, smart people. I need places to run to if the U.S. totally collapses. I don't like countries that are under empire sway. But empires always try to do that. And we're a globalist bankster empire right now. And that Nazi collaborator, scallywag, Soros, is running all that. Obama promises to enact gun control laws with or without Congress. Obama plagiarizes Bush's 2007 SOTU speech. State of the Union takeaway dictatorship. CNN poll, 67% oppose Obama's executive action. Krauthammer, when Obama repeated Guantanamo, you knew he'd sort of run out of ideas. Obama and the State of the Onion address. Great article by John Rappaport, all up on Infowars.com. By the way, you can see right there, just a plug, you can see our own Molly Rogers and Weldon Henson modeling the Liberty or Death new shirts that have come out at 1776, madein1776.com, which takes you to the shopping cart, and you can get all this great Liberty apparel to help strike up conversations with people and talk about what America, the good ideas of America, what's made America special. But we're not exceptional in goodness anymore with our governing class. We're exceptional in the wall of deception and evil. So we'll get Gerald Celente's take first up on the state of the tyranny last night. And then we'll get into these runs on banks worldwide. I appreciate him coming on to talk about that. He's been predicting that. And the capital controls. It's now happening all over the place. And we'll look at a whole bunch of other issues with Gerald Celente. I'm Alex Jones.
It's always a tough vote because the average person thinks raising the debt ceiling must mean that we're running up our debt. Raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy. All it does is it says you got to pay the bills that you've already racked up, Congress.
Just got paid today.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Said I just got paid today, got me a pocket full of change.
They go up to drudgereport.com. It's the easiest way to find it. It's already scrolled off Infowars.com's front page, where it's down in the financial area. I'm going to have it put back in the features. Bank run fears escalate as Russian lender bans cash withdrawals. It's an Infowars.com story. Economic jitters continue across the world, causing stock market issues. Zero Hedge and others are also reporting on that right now. And you've got Mark Faber, who's been a really accurate guy and a great fund manager. He says insiders are selling like crazy, shorting U.S. stocks. He says buy treasuries and gold. And it's coming out in mainstream news, what Gerald Celente and others have been saying for years, and Bob Chapman, rest his soul, that they've been suppressing gold prices with naked shorting, you name it. Hey, you like how Dinesh D'Souza has been arrested for supposedly giving a little bit too much money to a campaign of his friend? But John Corzine, or the IRS persecuting people, And there's also a question up on Infowars.com in an article. Why are so many top British bankers jumping off of bridges? And we're going to get into that article. I mean, it's like every day somebody's jumping off a bridge or their own banking buildings, killing themselves. Now, look, the collapse came years ago. We've been in a recession since 2008, depression in many areas the last 4 years. They've gone into this QE unlimited while depressing the real economy so that it wouldn't create too much inflation, but inflation has increased, so they've been trying to cover that up. And now currencies all over the place are in this mad race. I mean, we are sitting on top of, it's like somebody's had 10 heart attacks, they're 85 years old, and you're going to make them walk up 100 flights of stairs. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? And this is a serious situation. But there's so much mind control, though. Obama can say raising the debt limit doesn't raise the debt. He can say you're going to keep your doctor. It's going to cut your rate in half and then get rid of your doctor, double your health care on average. I mean, it's the overthrow of reality appears to be what they're doing because they think the public is so insecure and so uninformed that as long as there's a big stage and people are clapping for him, Obama could say 2 + 2 = 1 billion. I mean, this is an overthrow of reality. That's what George Orwell wrote about in 1984. And they've pretty much done it to a certain extent, but they can't overthrow the communist Chinese or the Russians. They can't overthrow superbugs. They can't overthrow the reality of what's going on. So they're on classic megalomaniac power trips. Most 95% of people, they've got studies and a big documentary out about it. I want to get that director on. I forget the name. I saw it last year. where 95% of people or more, it's over 95%, that win $10 million, $20 million in a lottery, in a year they're totally depressed, half broke. In 2-3 years they're totally broke or in jail. It destroys them. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Money destroys marriages. Money, power destroys marriages. Power is a curse, folks. Unless you do it for absolute good, then it's very empowering. That's the archetypal knight's quest or the hero's quest. And the globalists are the enemy of the knight's quest. Even though these wars have been frauds, they hate real, virtuous military because they're the only people out there that could ever organize in a totalitarian physical takeover a resistance. Now, the general public being virtuous and voting with their dollars and creating local communities and buying local, we can defeat them the other way, but they're going to start a fight before that happens. But they are, I mean, cowards and scum have always hated real men and real women. And they always want to tell us how we're wrong and we're not virtuous. I am virtuous. I care about people. I want to live in a good world with good people. I treat people like I want to be treated. And I'm not perfect. The complexity of life means you step on people's toes and don't even mean to do it. The difference is I want to be good. I like being good. Does it mean I'm perfect? Does it mean I don't have an evil side that I can slide into just like that? If you got a big good side, you're going to have an evil side, folks. The point is I choose good. Now, I've put in my rant there. Gerald Celente joins us, and I always enjoy him coming on for the balance of the hour. TrendsResearch.com, TrendsJournal.com will actually get you there as well. Great site, a lot of videos and trend updates there. Gerald, I've kind of set the table the last 3-4 minutes with a potpourri of points I've laid out there about the state of civilization going into this decadent cycle. What do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's look at the State of the Union address last night, as you were mentioning. You know, I watched the, you know, entirety, and you know, and it was really flat. You know, I look at things objectively. You know me, I don't have any skin in the game. I'm a political atheist. And he got very, very few applause lines. He threw out the ones, you know, the woman card, of course, equal pay for women and men. Of course, that got a big round of applause. And with Obamacare, women won't have to pay more. So he played that card. And then the last card he played, and this was a flat, it was flat throughout. It was nothing new. He didn't have the trained seals jumping up and down as much as he had in the earlier years. You know, Pom Pom Pelosi when she was the head over there of the majority leader. So they didn't have that energy. But he played the card at the end of pulling out this soldier to 10 tours of duty in Afghanistan and became seriously injured. And that got the greatest round of applause. More, all it was more war talk. So they used that. And also, talking about gun control that he brought up again, he also said another great Obama lie about how they've pulled back on the drone attacks. When in fact, in the last 5 years, he's done 8 times more than George Bush. As a matter of fact, this speech made little Georgie Bush look good from his terrible.
I was about to say, I've never seen such a solid wall of lies. It's actually hard to tell lies at that level and to be that pure of a liar with even double entendres. He could tell multiple lies at once, and expanding on that, that's like a Rosetta Stone of the whole fraud was that poor guy who meant well with his arm blown off, clapping on his chest next to that monster that obviously hates him in the military, Michelle. But the abomination, through that man, you can see all the fraud. 10 years when they knew in World War II, don't serve more than 2 tours. Vietnam, don't serve more than 2 tours. 1 is enough. I mean, that is like literally putting troops in front of a firing squad, 10 tours, and even the strongest person psychologically can't handle that. And it just shows how they're just spending everything and how it's totally dishonorable. I mean, I don't mean to start ranting. It's just, and then to use him for more warmongering and reflected glory, like Obama's a hero when he says, I'm really good at killing people.
Yeah, it's a suit. What did he say? I didn't know that suit would fit me so well. He should be in a white jacket. That's the suit he should be in. And again, you looked at all these little trained SEALs, these political SEALs jumping down and applauding this. You know, this war brought nothing but more hatred around the world. And remember the big lie that that George Bush launched it on. We're going to get Osama bin Laden because the Taliban won't give him to us. That was the reason for attacking Afghanistan. And now we've been there, as you mentioned, the longest war in American history. And they played that card. But I want to go back to gun control and drones. Okay, let's have gun control. Let's start with you, Junior. Stop sending your drones. That's killing people. Oh, it's a different gun. That's all it is. Oh, you want to talk about gun control? Let's start with the military. Let's start with them and start controlling that. You're building too many weapons, man, and you're using them to kill too many people. You want to talk gun control? Hey, how about the militarization of the police in America? You want to talk about gun control? Let's start with them. Oh, did you see that congressman from Staten Island that's making the news? Representative Michael Grimm. Perfect name for the cat. How he threatened that little reporter from New York One to throw him over the balcony and cut him in half. You know who Michael Grimm is? It's perfect. A former FBI agent. Go to Wikipedia, look it up. This guy, New Yorker magazine, did a story on him about how he went into a nightclub and threatened this guy and said that they'll never find him again, or words to that effect, and then came back twice and one time pulled a gun and played I'm the FBI. Another guy, these tough guys, you know, that threaten little boys. And by the way, if you or I were to send a letter to Grimm or Pelosi or Dianne not to Feinstein and threaten to throw them off a balcony and cut them in half, those FBI guys, they'd be there, man, having us face down, beating the crap out of us.
That's what I was about to say is jail. Cuomo says if you don't agree with him politically, get out of the state. They're threatening to kill people.
But this is a direct threat.
No, I agree. They're gangsters. They're gangsters. And what's happening to him now after he did this?
Nothing. They apologized, and everything will be okay. Again, the word justice is J-U-S-T-U-S, just us. No Wall Street heads go. Again, if you or I sent a threatening letter to a congressman, they would lock us up. This is a direct threat.
Well, he hasn't denied it, and we have the clip. It's a little bit low audio, but you can hear it. And imagine, for having a reporter there, he threatens to kill him. And let's play that clip for radio listeners. TV viewers can actually see him come over and do it. Here it is. And then we'll look.
Before we let you go, since we have you here, we haven't had a chance to kind of talk about some of the
things. About anything that's off topic. This is only about the president.
Well, what about... Thank you. All right, so Congressman Michael Grimm does not want to talk about some of the allegations concerning his campaign finances. We wanted to get him on camera on that, but he, as you saw, refused to talk about that. Back to you.
Threatened to throw him off the balcony. Again, it doesn't go over radio too well, but you can hear it. It's up on Infowars.com if you want to actually turn it up and hear it. Over AM, people won't be able to understand it. I mean, he clearly is saying, I'll throw you off, I'll kill you, I'll cut you in half. And he looks like a total thug. And the fact is, he thinks they're above the law. And I see on these police websites, and I'm not against the general police because that feeds into the balkanization, but where they talk on their forums about killing protesters. And anybody films me, I'm gonna kill him, and you know, stuff like that. It's this military attitude, like anybody else's rights are, you know, a threat to be dealt with. And I'm sorry. I mean, if some guy got in my face and said, I'm going to throw you off a balcony, I would shove him back. And then if they tried to punch me, I mean, I would shove them and say, how dare you threaten me? And then if they came at me, I'd punch him in the face. And then I would be arrested for terrorism. Gerald Celente, what would you do if he did that to you?
Well, again, you know, look at this guy. You'll go to Wikipedia and you can see this story, how he pulled a gun on these guys in this nightclub. He's a thug. And again, Hey, Junior, did you ever hear the word public servant? Try that one on. None of these clowns, these political clowns, every election time, I'm a public servant. Yeah, clean the toilets over here. They're royalty. You saw it last night. I've seen it every one of these State of the Union addresses. And now the cabinet of the... Hey, what is this popping circumstances? Cut the crap.
Well, that's right. In old State of the Unions, they would heckle the president if he was lying, and they would throw stuff at each other and things. And I'm not saying that's good, but it's better than... I've never seen... It looked like all these theater folks who don't really have talent but want to be in the theater and are obsessed with some narcissistic thing. I'm not attacking folks that want to be in the theater if they really like it, but you know, I'm talking about theater rats who then fawn around someone who gets more attention than them and worship them when they really hate them. And I've never seen such narcissistic hopping around and gleeful worship as when he came in, because it was about them being on TV. I mean, give me a break. They look like a bunch of mummies.
Well, that's why politics is show business for ugly people. You nailed it. That's exactly all it is. And again, they are destroying our nation in front of us. What you see is what you get. Is there an Illuminati? Boy, if there is, the un-Illuminati are doing the dirty work for them. I mean, it's so transparent. It's such a failure. You look at these people, you look at their actions and look at their deeds. So as we go through and see what's going on, nothing about really the economy. And also, when we're looking at this and you talk about the big lies, he bragged about the jobs. Well, everybody knows the jobs that are being created stink. And go to college. That's right. Go to college, get deep in debt, and don't forget, you could take a course in stocking shelves. How about packaging and shipping 101? Because that's what you're going to do when you get out of college. So it was one lie after another, and again, totally flat. So now here we are, and as we're talking, the Federal Reserve announced, just as we had forecast, another round of tapering. And you're seeing what's going on in all the emerging markets. Everyone should pay attention to this. It's very important. The only reason, as you well know, and everyone else does that listens to your show, the only reason we have any kind of a recovery at all is because all of these tens of trillions of dollars the central banks have been shoving into the marketplace. All this cheap money went over to these emerging markets and it was a carry trade. So what they did is they got higher interest rates, took money cheaply, put it in another country, got more money for it, and kept playing the deal. Now all this money is flowing out. So what's going on? You mentioned about the bank runs, the HSBC. Then we heard the one about that you reported on, one of the first ones to do it, with JP Morgan Chase putting limits on how much you could withdraw. And then you're seeing what's going on in Russia, as is on your website. Now what's happening, check it out. India, Turkey, one country after another, they're all raising interest rates. They're doing this because the money is flowing out and their currencies are being deflated. Oh, South Africa, another one. So now, as I've mentioned, the only thing that kept this going, as everyone knows, is the cheap money flow. Now they're tightening up. The currencies are crashing. Great. China is announcing, as we're seeing from the data coming out, that their economy is actually going down from the data. Not that they're announcing it, from reading the information. So the economies are going down, and now you're raising interest rates. Brilliant. Turkey's just raised their interest rates, to over 12%, about 12%. Their economy is crashing. They're in a crisis. India raised their interest rate. South Africa, they're all raising their interest rates to protect their currencies. You don't raise interest rates as you're going into a recession unless you want to create a depression, but they have no choice. So you can see where the future is heading, and it's an ugly one.
That's right. And either course causes major economic problems. I have your Trends Journal from the winter of 2010, the Trend Post. And I mentioned this to you. Do you have that in front of you, what you wrote back at that time? Said,
yeah,
should the bottom fall out of the economy, be it from a terror strike, financial crisis, war, environmental, health related, talk about this quote.
Catastrophe or other wild card events, draconian measures will be taken by governments to forestall panic, prevent runs on banks, and keep equity markets from crashing. In such a scenario, bank holidays, cash restrictions, and stock market closings should be expected.
And now they're making the first major moves after Cyprus to do that, and are in financial publications, CNBC, Financial Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, I covered it yesterday, going, maybe you'll have to pay to have money in the bank now. Maybe we're not going to let you get cash out. Maybe we're going to take some money out of your account like John Corzine did. And if you don't like it, Homeland Security will come by. And you know, we got to give the illegal immigrants free health care. But if an old lady can't pay her property taxes, we're going to take it. I mean, it's so predatory. And then if we try to go out on the street and protest, the cops come and beat our heads in when their own future is being destroyed. I mean, we are in a disaster situation because they ran this scam to take over. They knew what was going to happen, and they're going to use the next crisis as another power grab, another bailout. Gerald Celente, where are we going?
You really said it. You really put it together. And when you listen to Obama's empty speech yesterday, there's nothing there. They're going to use it to control us when this thing comes down. They're not worried in D.C. They know what the deal is. They're aware of what's going on. So what we're seeing is they're preparing for the worst. Again, the HSBC this isn't coming from, you know, the progressive. It's BBC reporting on it about how they have cash restrictions. Again, what you've been reporting on. And by the way, I did a story earlier than this about how I couldn't get my money out of KeyBank. In the 2010. It happened in 2009. And it happened to me again with HSBC 2 years later. They wouldn't give me my money. And they started putting me through all these hoops to run through. And I caused a scene over there. So what I'm saying is the system is collapsing in front of us. Again, this guy is grim. He's in mirror image of what the police have become today, to keep us down and to protect. How they'll protect John the Slime Corzine? They'll protect Jamie Legs Diamond.
While they arrest members of the media like Dinesh D'Souza and governors for crooked toenails, because they might run against Hillary. Yeah, it's pure political persecution. I want to ask Gerald where he sees this going and how we stop it. Stay with us.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're going to get into more trends with Gerald Celente, look at what's happening militarily around the world, what George Soros is up to, trying to overthrow the Ukrainian government because they didn't want to merge with the EU, which is just as bad as the Soviet Union, if you ask me, the old Soviet Union, and where he sees military action going. I mean, so much of what he's talked about here is now happening. And that's why they attack him and say he's not accurate, because the more accurate you are, the more they say you're not accurate. Now, if Obama lies about everything, why, he's incredibly accurate. You don't agree with that, you're racist. But briefly, we carry the very best products, period, at InfoWarsStore.com. The best books, the best films, whether it's on GMO and food guides, or whether it's on the Second Amendment, whether it's on the overall eugenics agenda, or whether it's on the plan to implode America, fall the Republic. These are key things to give to friends and family. These are key weapons in the info war. And it's essential. 90% of war in history, but particularly today, has been informational. We use truth. They use deception. They use undermining society. We want to empower society. Take your power back. Take Back Your Power, great film about getting off the grid or taking back your power supplies, bare minimum, from the smart meters. Just so many great books and films, all available at InfoWarsStore.com. I mean, the store has really grown over the years, and everything on there. We had some not even cheap pens, but inexpensive pens and inexpensive umbrellas and stuff that have InfoWars on it. And it wasn't a bad idea a few years ago, but I said, you know what, let's just get rid of that too. Let's just have everything on there be the highest quality. The Made in 1776.com is our Made in America line. A shirt that would cost $4 from China costs like $14 from the U.S. I mean, it's amazing. But again, it actually builds jobs here. Then we sell it to you for $25. And we've got brass belt buckles. They're almost sold out with George Washington. They're made in Oregon, numbered 1 through 500, two different sets, so 1,000. They're down to just, I don't know, 50 or 60 of each now. Great ball caps, all of it. InfoWarsStore.com. And I've taken 95% of the money and we've made over the years and dumped it into reporters and building an operation. We're almost there to the next level thanks to your support. And it wouldn't be bad if I kept a bunch of the money. I mean, I need to keep some in case people come after me or I can fight lawsuits. That's happened before. The point is that this idea that liberty, we should all be starving on the side of the street. No, you should support local business. You should support shows that tell the truth. You should subscribe to the Trends Journal. It's invaluable information. And then hand the magazine off to friends and family when you're done. It's all that little thing that's going to change the world. You know, think global, act local. That's what the establishment's done. We need to do that as well. And it's a war every day. We have the Pro Pure water filters, 10% off with promo code water and the Life Straw and others. The lowest prices you're going to find anywhere, folks, period. We've got just the best of the best at InfoWarsStore.com. You get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership to see the nightly news and all the films and the ebooks and all the other documentaries and live events and the 2.5-hour live show we did last night with the great reporters. I mean, the nightly news is just really hitting on all cylinders. That subscriber, 11 people can use each $5.95 a month membership. So what's 11 divided into $5.95? We're talking less than a dollar, 60 cents or something when it comes out to, for each person that can use this. I mean, that just pays for the bandwidth. PrisonPlanet.tv, become a member today. Or if you are a member, share that username and passcode. Make sure it's an original one that isn't for anything else. That's key, but the point is PrisonPlanet.tv and finally our line of high quality supplements, the true nascent iodine. We believe it's the only true nascent iodine out there. Believe me, we've run out of it before, not been able to manufacture more of it in the laboratory and tried to find others. And it's just, believe me, we want to carry a lot of good stuff. We can't. We found a few half decent ones that, you know, are good for emergencies and are stronger, but are unpalatable. The point is, InfoWars Survival Shield, we have that in. The Super Male Vitality, all the estrogens and stuff, you need that. I certainly do. We've got the Fluoride Shield with the nascent iodine in it and five other key ingredients that are known to detoxify. I went out and did the research with top doctors, scientists, nutritionists. I brought you, that's why we only have four products on InfoWarsLife.com, the coffee, the Fluoride Shield, the Survival Shield, the Super Male Vitality. Is because it takes me time to get the very best. I got a bunch of products I want to roll out that I know are big hits and they're going to work great. I can't find absolutely pure forms that are purely organic and good. I mean, I'm beating my brains out. That's why I got rid of almost all my sponsors. A lot of them were good, but I couldn't handle it. I couldn't vet it. I couldn't mess with it all. I just said, I'm getting rid of all the sponsors, got rid of five salespeople and about half our funding just because I literally have to be the most moral person I can. And then we're going to rebuild it. And they were good salespeople, too. It was just I couldn't manage it. I need to get managers in place. I need to go to the next level. And I got Gerald Holding. I apologize. I'm ranting here. I just barely plugged today, and that's how we fund ourselves. Please visit InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Shop with the good guys. Support us. Gerald Celente, he advertises in our magazine. He supports us because he knows it's important. I try to support him. We've all got to hang together or hang separate. Gerald Celente, you've got the floor on trends. I don't want to sit here and ask all the questions. Geopolitical, what's going on in the world? Can we turn it around? I think the biggest issue is, not that I'm some tough guy, but that people have never been in fights. They've never been robbed. They've never seen corruption. They have no street smarts now. We live in such an insulated, TV-based fantasy land that it's infected the ruling class as well. And, you know, people are either super smart and dialed in, or they're totally dumb, and I see an acceleration of that division. Gerald Celente.
Well, you know, I'd like to also, you know, just follow up on what you were talking about and how could it change. You know, I've been on virtually every TV show in the country, Oprah, the Today Show, Good Morning America, you name it. And I've been to your studios, and your studios are far above most of them. And I know the dedication that you have. So when you ask people, what can you do to help change? There's no show like yours. There's your website, the information, the people you have, your staff that is so dedicated, and the stories that they write every day. It's one of my first go-to websites. And I travel the world on websites from China Daily to Fars to Al Jazeera to Hot Eds, you know. But Alex Jones' website, Prison Planet, has information that's written in ways and presented that virtually nobody else does. So people do have to understand the dedication that you and your staff have to help change us and put us in, as the word that you keep using, is in a more moral direction. You know, and I'm the last guy to say, you know, that I played it straight all the time and been the perfect guy. You try to advance yourself as you learn more and try to be better at what you're doing in terms of, it's about self-respect. You know, I don't want to pass out of this planet with having, you know, any dark blemishes that I've done intentionally. So I really urge everyone to do what they can to keep promoting what you're doing, because you're one of the few voices out there, and you have the chutzpah and the cojones to say it the way it is.
Well, you too, my brother. I mean, I was just doing mid-air refueling to fund our operation. I just wanted to, you know, go back to the public and explain to them this is high quality, but also they can build whatever they want by supporting it. And that's what you've always hammered on for 30 years as a consultant, lobbyist, the biggest corporations, to the public, you name it, is we literally build the world by our choices. That's why folks have got to become subscribers to the Trends Journal. That's why they've got to support DrudgeReport.com, WorldNet Daily, anything that's independent, anything that has a moral compass, anything that isn't totally obsessed with evil. And that's what it comes down to, is how do we turn this around?
Again, it's about self-respect, and it's happening. Yes, there are a lot of losers out there. And to me, by the way, that show last night in Washington, it was a pickup from the Grammys, you know, about the same stupid level. But there are a lot of people that care. And you're a historian. You know that the revolution began with very few people in America. And even at the height of it, a lot of people didn't support it. So it can happen with people that care. And that's really what it comes down to. And now on to the geopolitics. There was a line that Obama threw out there that people should, it just pushed him right through. He made the distinction that how we were going to have a deal with Iran. And Iran, it's all about business. And you saw Rouhani over there in Davos. It's about business. 70 million people there. The country's been laying dormant. And the multinationals want to get in there, as the oil companies do. So it's a business deal. Let's get it straight. But he threw two lines in there, and you can see how the deal was made. He called Israel, quote, a Jewish state. That was the one that they're pushing for now. And number two, boom, right in like that, and we're going to support those Syrian rebels. So he made a deal with Israel, and he made a deal with Saudi Arabia and the Arab Little League. Because the Arab Little League are the ones that also, by the way, there was a great one. I was on with the Washington bureau chief of Al Jazeera right before the Libyan war on China Today. And you got to see this guy freak out at the end when he was telling us why America has to attack Libya. And I said to him, listen, you haven't answered any of my questions in an hour. I'll tell you what, you want to go to war with Libya? Pack up your crap and take your wife and your kids and yourself and go fight the war. Don't you dare tell us what we as Americans should do. And you mentioned Washington. Could you imagine Obama or Clinton or Clintons or little Georgie Bush or Gates or the rest of them going up to George Washington, a guy that was out there on the front lines, and saying to him, you know, George, you're full of baloney about these foreign entanglement nonsense. We're going to do what we want and get involved in any other country's business. So I'm going back to Obama again, throwing the line out to Syria. They just cut a deal with the Arab League to keep this destabilization going. And when you look at Saudi Arabia, the reason they're against a deal with Iran, look at oil prices. We're having one of the coldest winters we've had, and oil prices are still staying low. There's a flood of product on the market at a time when the economies are going down. So you can see where the war is heading.
That's right. And Iraq just said they're going to flood the market. That's one reason they set up Saddam, is he was trying to pay off his debts, flooding the market back in 1990.
Exactly. And then again, tying it all together economically, I've made this very clear before. You're seeing the manufacturing index coming out of China. It's down. You're seeing slowdowns. Oh, by the way, durable good orders came out yesterday in the U.S. and they were way off. Figure it out. Of course, by unexpectedly down in December. Well, you look at the new employment numbers in December, there were only 74,000.
So what's the bottom line? They're going to start turning down the QE. How much do you think they're going to do it? What's going to happen in the next year, Gerald Celente?
Here's my forecast. You're looking at the markets already. As we're talking, they're fluctuating between almost 200 down to 120 down. The markets, Europe took a hit. They're all taking a hit. They have to flood the markets with money. They're not going to do it for a while. And you're going to see the equity markets continue to decline. Interest rates go up. The economy goes down. They're going to come out with a new scam by the end of the second quarter of this year. They're not going to call it quantitative easing. They're not going to call it stimulus. Now with Ben Bernanke out of there, maybe they'll call it Yellenomics or something for the new person, the front for the bankers. They're going to come out with another round of stimulus. They have to do it. They're going to do it in Europe. They're going to do it in China. And when they do it, you're going to see gold prices skyrocket. We believe that when they announce the next round of stimulus, which they're going to have to do, when you're looking at the numbers only, that's when you're going to see gold prices skyrocket. Our forecast is the downside of gold is only between 100 and 150. That's not a lot, because it's going to cost you $1,200 just to pull this stuff out of the market. And by the way, when you look at the Goldman Sachs gang, and they're the ones that keep driving down the price of gold, coming out with their announcements of how low it's going to be, and you look at their track record over the last 3 years, they have been off on virtually every one of them, but they're manipulating the market as Dr. Paul Craig Roberts keeps showing everyone how they're doing it. And if you don't think they're manipulating the markets, guess what? They manipulated the LIBOR markets. That sets interest rates at the tune of some $700 trillion.
Well, it's on record. They're manipulating all the markets. It's all rigged.
It's a fact. They're manipulating the Forex markets. Those are the currency markets. It's a fact. So the fact is that when gold prices go up, they're going to try to drive them down. But here's what's different. I bought my first buy of gold at $187.50 an ounce back in the late 70s. I also bought it at the highest point of the trading day, the day it collapsed, at $875. It closed at $850. The next day it went down $50. Here's what's different. Back then, you didn't have physical demand that's skyrocketing throughout Asia and the rest of the world, even in the United States. The mints are running 24 hours a day in Austria. They can't keep up with demand for physical metal. That didn't happen in 1980. I was there. Back in 1980, China wasn't buying like they are now. Now the largest buyer of physical metals. China was just getting off the Mao trip. They had no GDP. India? No, they weren't buying much either. Russia? How much is Russia buying now? Back then, everything east of Berlin was locked
down. No, absolutely. They can only suppress it so long. That's why I've never sold an ounce of gold or silver I've bought, and I'm totally confident. But expanding on that, Gerald, speaking of the Mao trip, people are over the globalist, big government, fake neoliberal neocon garbage. People, all the polls show, 6% approval rating for Congress, Obama plunging. What will the establishment do to get itself out of this?
Again, it goes back to that line he threw out about Syria. When all else fails, they take you to war. I've been writing about this for, look, go around the world. You have a civil war going on in Egypt, one going on in Turkey. It's a civil war. You have one in Yemen, one in Bahrain. The Saudi Arabians are freaking out. Their poverty levels are skyrocketing. Their income is declining. You have a civil war in Libya thanks to those wonderful women, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice, that started that war, egged Obama into that time-limited, scope-limited kinetic action, a civil war in Syria. You have riots going on continually that are not making the news. The pitchfork movement in Italy, the people in Greece, in Spain. You mentioned about Ukraine joining the European Union. Oh, yeah, brilliant. Join the European Union. You could become like Greece. You could become like Spain. You could have 27% unemployment rate. Join on up. Oh, and by the way, we're going to bring the multinationals in and steal all your dough.
Isn't globalism great?
Look what's going on in Thailand.
Well, stay there. We're coming right back, Gerald. Gerald Celente's on fire. I'm Alex Jones.
Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard? Ooh, Lord, am I trouble so hard?
We're not going to be able to do Overdrive today. I wish we could. I've got to go on Jesse Ventura's new TV/radio show. He's on next week, former governor of Minnesota. Again, final segment here with Gerald Celente. Gerald, I've got so many questions and things to raise, but you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to ask you what else you think is front and center and really, really important.
Again, you know, as I was just saying, take a look what's going on in Thailand. People haven't left the streets now in 2 months. And then you go over to look what's going on in Cambodia. The people that are tired of working for $61 a month, and the police are beating the hell out of them, but they're not leaving the streets. The same thing in Bangladesh. How can you forget what's going on over there in Japan? Abenomics, brilliant. Dumped tons of money into the system. The exports are way down, and it's not doing anything. But what is happening is that he keeps increasing the tension between Japan and China. So, and then you look what's going on down there in Argentina. Oh, yeah, their peso's collapsed. The people are out in the streets. Go over to Brazil, same thing. The people are tired of being poor, and they're tired of the corruption. What I'm saying, Alex, and I've said this, and now everybody's starting to kind of pick it up now in the media, it looks a lot like it did before World War I. A very unnecessary war. And the reason you got in there was because you had a lot of stupid people that were in charge, both in the military and in government. And you have the same thing going on now. You got losers.
You have just hit the key, is that I look at the political elite now, and they're real good at robbing us and real good at saying they know everything, but really, they've got horrible families, they're horrible people, they're stupid, and the public is either dumb or awake. I mean, this is a disaster. And I agree with you, a lot of historians, you were saying this years ago, but now they're saying, yeah, get ready for World War I, World War II. The climate that we see lining up says World War III.
Exactly. It was the top trend that we had last year. Top trends of 2013 was war. And showing the lead up to it. That's my greatest concern, because you saw what happened last night with Obama. Everybody, you know, I wrote about it in the last Trends Journal, how I almost went broke back in the early 2000s. 2003, the top trends I wrote. Now, remember, this is, you know, it comes out in December of 2002. The war just started in it wasn't even a year old.
Absolutely. We're out of time. I'm going to have you back on. No, you predicted it all. I want to have you back on, but in the minute and a half we got left, what do you make of Obama and the media trying to sell the idea of him as a dictator that then he can fix everything? I mean, this is getting crazy.
Well, again, this is what the setup is. This is what I'm trying to say. You saw how they championed this guy last night. It was one of the longest rounds of applause of any State of the Union. When they mention the troops, they mention war. All we need is one little terror thing. You saw what happened in Boston when they called martial law, when the police went into people's houses without warrants. They can have a false flag or a real terror strike, and the flags, the made in China American flags will come out, and people will be tying yellow ribbons around everything. That's my greatest fear, and that's what the people have to stand up
to, right,
as they did when they wanted to take us to war with Syria, and say no.
Very well said. I mean, bottom line, we're on the edge of catastrophe. The stars have aligned historically. My gut tells me, my gut's always right. Gerald, my gut's 10 times the dread I've ever had. And what do you think it is? The economic collapse, the war, it all comes together.
All comes together. When the economic, look, what's going on now with this tapering, again, you're seeing what's going on with the emerging markets. They need the money. They need that monetary heroin. They can't survive without.
Gerald, things are moving too quick. Will you come back next week to talk about war?
I'd love to. Thank you.
All right, next week. We'll set you up right now. Thank you so much, sir.